And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It is just turning 7 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 13th of May 2024. How are you all keeping? How was your weekend? If you're into sport, you had a fantastic weekend, I would guess. What a result yesterday for Donegal. What a result for the team and Jim McGuinness as a manager. 29,000 odd in Clonus to watch a really exciting game. Maybe not for the throwback purists, if you know what I mean, but still such a tight game. Fair play to both teams and fair play. Donegal out on top again. Did you follow them into Donegal Town yesterday, I wonder, as well, last night? Anyway, any reflections on the weekend, be it to do with sport or whatever it is, you know how to get in touch with us, don't you? It's WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. And if you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. So a ton of stuff coming up over the next 3 hours. And if you want to watch the show, if you're at home on the smart TV or your Fire Stick, Highland Radio Ireland, give us a like and a subscribe there if you don't mind too. It is quite useful in spreading the word. We're on the X platform as well. Hundreds of you watching across X every single day. And that is Highland Radio Ireland, and on Facebook as well. Right, let's start with a sporting story. The back of the Donegal News, and Jim McGuinness was savouring the moment as Donegal won a first Ulster title for 5 years as they beat Armagh on penalties. The Donegal Banaistir was delighted with the win after drawing 20 apiece after 90 minutes, but they got their win as Sean Patton saved Shane McPartland's penalty to win 6-5. And I think there was a point when, Shane saved it with his feet and just turned to see the ball hadn't dribbled over the line. Such scenes then. That was a 6-5 win at that point. And the Glenties native was all smiles after the game. "We'll have to savour this. We really have to, and get back to reality during the week and go again. You have to believe. If you don't see yourself in the depths of winter here in Clonus, there's no point being back." And maybe we might, we'll try and get a word with Jim before the end of the show. It might be tough, but sure, look it, we try for you out there. The great listeners of Donegal in the Northwest more generally. Do you feel a wee bit for Armagh too? That's the third big penalty shootout. They've lost, huge pressure. And the quality of penalty taking yesterday actually was superb. But it just went Donegal's way in the end. And now we face Tyrone, which is in the round robin stages, which is another huge, huge test, it has to be said, especially with the extra miles on the Donegal clock. Right, the Derry News, their lead story is about the Northern Lights. Derry skyline was lit up on Friday night in an out of this world display. The sky was awash of bright pink, purple and green as the Northern Lights appeared across Ireland due to a series of solar flares spewing from the sun's surface, sending shockwaves of magnetically charged plasma directly at the Earth. Surprisingly, I saw absolutely no pictures of that on Facebook over the weekend. You'd think with everyone having camera phones now that have taken a picture and uploaded it to the Facebook page, I didn't see any. On to the Irish Independent now. We have no more space. Demand surges for places at special schools. Hundreds of children are being left without places in special schools, which are experiencing the worst demand for places ahead of the next academic year. It means children are being left at risk of reaching secondary school without being able to read or other key skills. There's been a doubling of the number of applications for some special schools in the past year, with many reporting a significant increase in the number of children they've had to turn away. The Children's Ombudsman has raised concern about the unacceptable level of stress caused to families when children with additional needs are denied the right to education. Dr. Niall Muldoon was responding to a special investigation by The Independent that found some special schools are experiencing a greater demand for places than ever before. He said his office continues to receive complaints from parents who are having problems finding school places for children with special educational needs. And of course, we have covered that story on this programme extensively, but also too, I think it's separate but linked to that, the changed criteria as well for recognising children with additional needs. I presume that's still an issue. Let us know, 086 60 25,000. I'm going to stay with schools and hop to the Irish Daily Mail now, because primary school funding is being slashed by €16 per pupil nationally, sparking fury among parents and teachers. The Department of Education has cut the annual grant for primary schools from €96 a year per pupil to €80, totaling €7 million, just 1 year into a new free school book scheme. The scheme is regularly cited by Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin as an example of the reforming impact of his party in government. But Social Democrats TD Jennifer Whitmore said this is one of the many little cuts that are really hurting parents and schools. Education Minister Norma Foley needs to give a guarantee that parents and children won't be hit with higher bills because of this. Now, if there is a shortfall of €16 per pupil and schools are already struggling to meet the everyday needs of school, where do they go for that money? They go to the parents and guardians because they're going to be short, effectively. I mean, I presume they don't have €16 per pupil nationally and locally to spare. It's hard to believe we're going backwards in terms of investing in our young people, but it would seem, according to that article, that would seem to be the case. The Irish Times now, retail and hospitality businesses could be set for a cash injection worth thousands of euros, part of a new enterprise support package being considered by the government. Now, unless I'm mistaken, the last initiative by government was to make money available to businesses in supports. There wasn't a very big uptake on that. I think this is actually that same money that wasn't drawn down before repackaged. I'm open to correction on that, but I believe that to be the case. Ministers were putting the finishing touches to the plans over the weekend, with the final package due to be approved by Cabinet tomorrow. Taoiseach Simon Harris pledged to unveil a range of supports for businesses when he took up office last month, and government sources have confirmed that a key plank of the plan will come in the form of additional grants for the hospitality and retail sector, as I say, which is to be welcomed, but I believe that is leftover funding from the €257 million scheme that was designed in such a way, clearly, that a lot of people did not draw down on it. Right, on to the Irish Star now. And migrants who arrive in this country could soon face having the cash they're paid by the state cut. The government announced yesterday that a review of payments made to migrants will be carried out within weeks. Public Expenditure Minister Pascal Donoghue made the announcement after the Taoiseach wrote about making Ireland less attractive for economic migrants. Simon Harris said he will pull levers in government departments to ensure Ireland adopts a firmer system and ensures we're not out of kilter with other EU countries. He said this will not be a long, drawn-out process. The government will take decisions on this soon. The issue is though, particularly, I think, the migrants that are arriving from the UK, I don't think they're motivated necessarily by money. They're motivated by not wanting to go to Rwanda. 7,000 of them have crossed the border from the north into the Republic in recent months, and I don't think cutting the money really is going to make much difference to that, and it's certainly not going to build accommodation that's required as well. I saw statistics released this morning that show that Ireland has the highest proportion of migrants in this country compared to any other country in Europe. EU figures reveal Ireland had proportionately the highest number of non-EU citizens found to be illegally present in any EU country last year. Figures published by the European Commission show the rate of legal immigration recorded in the Republic in 2023 in relation to population, so in other words, per head of population, 10 times the EU average. A total of 1,485 non-EU nationals were found to be illegally present in Ireland last year. That's up 20%, and as I say, 10 times some parts of Europe. And on it goes. You heard Lee Gooch mention the Eurovision. Eurovision star Bambi Thug has admitted the song contest has been an eye-opening experience. The Cork artist came, they reference her gender, which I don't see the point of every single time. We are not surely where our most distinguishing characteristic is our pronouns. It seems to be the case, because every single time, I have no issue with that, by the way. It's just there must be a more inventive way to describe Bambi Thug. The Cork artist came sixth in the final of the competition on Saturday night, which was Switzerland's Nemo. He claimed the top spot. although I think he's non-binary also. Yesterday morning, Bambi, 31, flew back to London, but told fans on social media the politically charged competition was eye-opening. In a video on their Instagram stories recorded with a filter projecting the Palestinian flag on one cheek, they said, just a quick message today. Thank you guys for all of your support throughout the process. I watched that. Many of you did. And some people watched it just to be annoyed. Some people watched it to be entertained. But I watched it on a YouTube feed, full HD on the screen, on the big screen, with no talking over it. And it was so much more enjoyable without Graham or Marty, you know, the wisecracks or talking over the presenters or reminding us of phone lines when it's, you know, clearly on the screen. So I actually enjoyed it much more, just watching a clean feed with no waffle. Finally, on to the Sun this morning. Sad news, the first recipient of, and I read this when it happened, so I thought I'd give you an update. The first recipient of a genetically modified pig kidney transplant has died nearly 2 months after the procedure. Richard Slayman was 62. He had the transplant at Massachusetts General Hospital in March. Surgeons believed the pig kidney would last for at least 2 years, but they said there was no indication that he died as a result of the transplant. Now, this was a gentleman that was actually very sick. He'd had transplants before and was taking other medications, what have you. So it's not clear if he died because that organ failed. But I know his family, one way or other, have said that the transplant gifted them 7 weeks of memories with him. Okay, but unfortunately, he did pass away. Now, Donegal County Council is to host a jobs fair in London to promote employment opportunities in Donegal. Over 11 Donegal-based businesses, with more to be confirmed, will take part in the Donegal Jobs Fair at the London Irish Centre in Camden, London, next month, promoting jobs and career opportunities across several sectors, including tech, engineering, construction, maritime and healthcare. And we have three guests in studio to discuss this a little further. We'll say good morning first to Anne-Marie Conlon, Head of Economic Development with Donegal County Council. Anne-Marie, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks very much, Craig. Thanks.
Anya McMenamin, Commercial Director of Mantis Cranes. Hi, Anya.
Morning, Craig.
And last but not least, Sarah Kinsley, HR Director with PGIM.
Good morning.
On the dodgy chair. No sudden moves, please. I'll start with you, Anne-Marie, if that's okay. Is this as obvious as it seems that, you know, we have a lot of people originally from Donegal, or not from Donegal for that matter, working in a lot of these areas in London, and maybe they don't know that there are opportunities now here in the Northwest, and just seeing if the opportunity fits with what, you know, what they want in their life?
Yeah, that's really it, Greg. We were in London back in February. We had an audience with Paddy Bonner and Shay Given, and we had about 340 Donegal people, if you like, in the room. And there was an overwhelming, message coming for us in that these people were looking at opportunities to come back to Donegal. You know, everything from people, you know, had small kids and they wanted to raise their kids back in Donegal, or they were looking at settling down and coming back home. And it was very clear to me and to the people that were with us that we really needed to be sharing that story, that there are really great opportunities here now in Donegal, great career opportunities and great job opportunities. So that's really what the event is about, and the event is actually taking place this Thursday in the London Irish Centre. So that's why we're going, and that's what we want to do, is just to connect the two, those who are looking to maybe move back home or to look at the the options and the opportunities that they may have, as well as connecting to the jobs that are here. So it's really about getting that profile raised.
Yeah, because we can have we can have all the investment in the world, we can have all the construction, the development, the opportunities, but we actually, an important factor of any country's economy and its development is the workforce, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, we
absolutely
talk about the need for housing, but we need people to build houses.
Yeah, that's it.
As
we
one
need
example.
People. Yeah, we certainly do. We need people, and I know from talking to Sarah and to Anya, the quality of the talent here in Donegal is second to none, and indeed in the wider Northwest, because we have a good population base of about, I think, 350,000 between Donegal and Derry and Tyrone, and like that's a really, really strong proposition for us. But we need more, we need the talent. We need to be growing our region, we need to be growing our county, and we need to be bringing people back as well. So we really do need to be investing, I suppose, really in the people, if you like, and bringing people back to take up the opportunities that are here.
Yeah, I mentioned Anya McMenamin. She's Commercial Director of Mantis Cranes. Tell us a little bit about the company and the work that you do, I suppose, and the the opportunities that are available.
Yeah, so Greg, we have two companies down in Killigordon. We have McMillan Engineering that does steel fabrication, and we have Mantis Cranes who supply tower cranes throughout Ireland and UK. And there's lots of different job and job areas that we have. We're predominantly in construction, so all things construction based. The roles that we would have would be anything from sales to design to steel detailing, down to service engineers. We also have great opportunity at the moment for middle management. We're going through a generation change at the minute, which is opening up gaps in our companies, whereby that myself and my brother need to step up. So therefore, there's middle management and senior management positions coming available in the next couple of months. So we're going through a really exciting time at the minute.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And that growth is dependent on, isn't it? They're having the right team in place in the right jobs.
Definitely. We're very fortunate that the team that we have is really, really, really good, strong team. But we need more. We want to develop. We want to grow. And the only way we can grow is having the team behind us.
And of course, this will all be laid out. This will all be laid out to those in attendance in London, but just for the broader audience, which is all over the place anyway. Like, I mean, obviously, there's going to be positions that require a certain skill set or whatever. But do you have opportunities for people of different sort of experience levels in this industry?
Definitely. If I take Mantis Cranes for argument's sake, 95% of our staff have never touched a crane before they come into us. And with all different walks of life come in, and we train them from the scratch. We've all of us, I knew nothing about cranes 18 years ago. So there's so much opportunity. And people, I suppose, for us, whenever they see the cranes, they probably think, well, that's not for me because I don't know anything about. But we train anybody and everybody to come in. And there's people that's come into our jobs that has never had any experience in the department they've been in either. And they've just flourished because they've been given an opportunity.
So they can grow within the company.
Correct.
You yourself have done what we're hoping other people would do after Thursday. You were based in London, is that right?
I was based in England for 12 years, moved for 6 months back in 2010, and told everybody I'll be back next year, but it never happened. But life changes happen as well. Back in 2022, I moved home, but that decision was twofold, I suppose. In a way, it was easy to move home once I made the decision to move home.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult to make the decision to move home.
Yeah, it's funny you should describe it like that because I think, Anne-Marie, you've been there a couple of times too when we've been over at the London Vintage Show, and it's an opportunity to speak to lots of people over there. And there's this confliction, right, where they feel really drawn to go home and miss going home, but it's figuring out how to do it.
Correct.
It seems to be the challenge for them.
Correct.
And you could have grandchildren over there and stuff, and that can complicate things, not complicate things, but make decisions a little bit more difficult. But there is a great, I got a sense of a great desire. It's just a case of making it happen. Sarah Kinsley, tell us about PGIM?
PGIM, yeah.
PGIM. I always go PGIM because I never have the confidence to go PGIM, but I'm...
It's a PGIM, okay. Confirmed.
Let's go. What is PGIM? Apparently it's a global asset management business.
It is.
Tell us a bit more.
We are the global asset management business of Prudential Financial, which are headquartered in the US, and we're one of the top 10 global asset managers. Here in Letterkenny, and indeed in Ireland, we've about 155 employees working across multiple PGIM businesses and supporting the Prudential business as well. So lots of variety.
And recruitment, is it an issue in your business as it is in lots of businesses at the moment?
I think every business is struggling with recruitment and for lots of different reasons. So, you know, the talent is here and that's very evident. I think the economy has had a big impact on that. You know, obviously the pandemic has had a big impact on it, and the changing needs of candidates coming through the door has had a big impact as well. I wouldn't say that PGIM are struggling any more than any other company. But certainly it is a top priority to make sure that good quality talent comes.
And I think, and I'm not speaking on behalf of Annie either, but it's a conveyor belt too, isn't it? You know what I mean? Even if there's not issues now, you sort of want to be planning and talking about what might happen in 2 years or 5 years. Any successful business has to be looking to bringing the next talent through. And you're another example of a person who came to Donegal for opportunities or for a change. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I moved to Donegal last year, relocated permanently, but that move had been on the cards for a couple of years. I get asked the question a lot, what my connection to Donegal is. I don't really have a connection. My father-in-law is originally from Donegal, but he hasn't lived here for a number of years.
You're really digging deep there. That's a deep dive to get a connection.
It is a deep dive. That is the only connection we have, though. So the only explanation
we're both in the West Coast.
And
beautiful.
The only explanation I can really give for the move is that we just loved Donegal. And to be honest, I didn't realise the amount of opportunity that was in Donegal. So when we moved here originally or made the plan to move, I was working remotely, which gave me the opportunity to say, right, that's it, let's go. And it was only when I got here that I realised there is huge opportunity. There's lots of industry and there's a lot that the community can offer to somebody.
I mean, obviously, Galway's a lot to offer that Donegal has a lot to offer, right? So in terms of lifestyle change, that wouldn't have been a huge difference, or would there have been?
I would say that Donegal offers a different way of life.
Yeah,
absolutely. It probably depends on where you are in the county as well, but we've settled out near Crusla, we're out on the coast, we have the mountains, we have the forest. The work-life balance part of it, the life part of it is very, very easy here. It's very nice.
And that makes the work side of it a little bit more manageable too. What will PGIM be saying on Thursday? You know, what kind of people are you looking for?
It's a variety. So similar to Anya, we look for people at different levels of experience. So at the moment, we have open roles from everything from summer interns to director positions. They vary across our businesses, a lot of financial, but it's not always people that have accountancy degrees, which can be a common misconception. Mm-hmm. We do have roles where people can come in, they can train up. We have a lot of opportunity for mobility within our business as well. So we'll be willing to talk to everybody and happy to get anybody's perspective.
Yeah, and these, Amory Conlon, both Anya and Sarah represent two fantastic companies, great examples of what we're talking about. But as I said in the preamble there, there are opportunities across a whole range of employments and services.
Yeah, there certainly are. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me to list all the companies, Greg, but I'll do my best.
I didn't.
We have Donegal County Council's own HR team. Our team are coming from the council again. Lots of variety of jobs there, from engineering posts right through to administration posts, to planners, to general operatives. So there's quite a lot of different opportunities there. We have the HSE also actually coming along again. Lots of opportunities in the social and healthcare sector. And then we have other companies such as Source Civil, which is a company based in Donegal Town, and it's growing rapidly with lots of business right across the globe, actually, in terms of the work that they're doing. We have CETA coming, which is another multinational company based in Letterkenny. So we have a really good mix of companies, from construction to financial services to the public sector. So a whole range of different jobs and job opportunities, right from entrance level right up to, you know, senior positions as well. So lots of choice. And even if there, you know, there may not be the company or the job for you on Thursday evening in the London Irish Centre, but we'll be there as a team, and we'll also be taking people's details. So we have we've built up a database of people who are interested in relocating back to Donegal. So we keep in touch, you know, with a newsletter, say every 8 weeks or so, just in terms of connecting in with jobs that are available as well, and letting them know just different things that you know, in terms of opportunities and options to come back and to relocate to Donegal.
And part of that is, we can't ignore, listen, the reality, because on Thursday, you know, someone might say to you, this sounds fantastic, right? But I was reading online on the Highland Radio website or wherever that there's a real shortage of accommodation, and that, you know, rents are very high, you know, for anything from 800 to 1200, 1300. And, you know, but London's not a cheap place to live in either. Is there any supports or advice or offering you can give people? I mean, some people have options already at home, right? But for those who go, you know, realistically, can I get home and rent?
Yeah. Look, housing is a challenge, there's no doubt. But as you said, the housing's probably a challenge in London and other locations as well. Look, I suppose what we're doing is we're looking at providing people with options and with letting them know that these opportunities, these job and career opportunities are there. There are also opportunities like vacant homes grants and derelict buildings grants. So if you do have a, you know, if you do have a property, maybe a parents' or grandparents' property, there's an opportunity to get grants to actually help repurpose and refurbish those.
So 90,000 euro is available in a lot of those properties.
Yeah.
Between the 50,000, there's a top up, and then there's an SCIA grant as well.
So that absolutely
brings it up close. I think it's 88 something in those regions. But Anya, we have the challenge here in this country in that, say, for instance, even in construction, we need more people to come into the country to help build our houses, but we really would need them to start building houses for them to live in before this. But at the end of the day, we are where we are, and we are going to have to figure out how to do this one way or other, because we can't stand still. So we are going to have to find ways to accommodate people, attract them back, get them work, get them their lives. Do you know what I mean? It has to be done anyway.
Yeah, I think that it's like everything. Once you put your mind to it, that you can make things happen. The biggest thing for me, I think, is relocating home, is making a decision, because it was on my radar for a long time that we're going to move home at some stage, but I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So once that you make the decision that you're going to move home, you make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways and opportunities that you can get back into the country and find your accommodation that I think, for me personally, the biggest for me was making the decision to come home and when to come home.
Okay, so I just spoke to Anya. Anne-Marie, in terms of Thursday, the message is going out there. Hopefully, by the way, anyone living in London or working in London at the moment, or if you're indeed listening or watching yourselves, we're encouraging them to go along and attend this event. Loads of companies, over a dozen Donegal companies, with opportunities ready to go, really.
Yeah.
If you are saying, look, I wouldn't mind changing my lifestyle a little bit. You know, London, it's got a very expensive place to live if you own a car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive just to drive around and everything else that's going on. So it's in London, the London Irish Centre, Camden. It's on Thursday, this coming Thursday. It's at 5 p.m, so that's hopefully people who are working will be able to get along in the evening.
Yeah, so it's on from 5 till 10. And we'll also have a few panel discussions as well, so people will be able to hear a wee bit more in depth from different companies and different agencies in terms of what's available. So there'll be two panel discussions. I think the first one's starting about 10 past 6.
Mm.
And then the second one will be about 7 o'clock or so. So again, it's just to give people more of an insight, and then there's an opportunity to talk one-to-one with the companies as well.
And I think it's good too, Anne-Marie, to let people know that things have changed a little bit.
Mm.
You know, I've said this before, I don't want to sound like a scratch record, but obviously where there are deficits, we have to highlight them, okay?
Mm.
But there's an awful lot going on in our way too. The broadband infrastructure. I'm sorry if you're listening and you've been told it will be 2028, but for a lot of places, there's high-speed fibre broadband over Loch Salt, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
With great broadband infrastructure,
And the roads infrastructure, access to the West is improving. We've placed, but if someone left here 10 or 12 years ago, they might not recognise the Donegal now that they left.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And that's what we're finding, and when we're talking to people in London, they may have left, as you said, about 12 years ago or 15 years ago, and it was a very different place. So the opportunities are there now. And even the flights, you have the flight to Derry. Like, we'll be in London, we're leaving on Thursday morning at 6:30. We'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, so in London city centre. So look, it's... it is very accessible even from that perspective as well. So it's not that far away. The broadband, we've companies working in different rural locations in Donegal, and they're saying that their broadband is actually better in Donegal than it is in Dublin city centre.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite an accolade in a small town in West Donegal, So look, we do have very good infrastructure in certain regards. We have a lot of work to do in other areas, but as you say, we have to work at it and keep going.
Well,
absolutely.
The positives you have to sort of spring them out to. Sarah, anything you want to add from your perspective or a Pigeon perspective?
Yeah, so maybe just in relation to what we were speaking about with the availability of housing and how things will have changed. One other thing to keep in mind, certainly in the professional services, is the flexibility we now have at work.
Mm.
PGIM in particular, like many other companies, offer a lot of flexibility. So if you're looking at housing and you're saying, I can't find anything in Letterkenny, it's much more commutable now because you're doing it 2 days a week, 3 days a week. So as Anya said, make the decision. Companies will support to get good talent and to bring talent home. Companies will support where they can. So if anybody is in doubt or has concerns, I'd encourage them to come and speak to us directly.
Yeah, even reassurance or support, yes. Really, in saying, right, I'm making the right decision. Because that's something you've said a few times, Anya. It's making the decision is the big challenge.
For me personally, yeah. that was
all
the biggest.
Brilliant stuff. Anything else, Annie, if you want to add, Anne-Marie, do you want to add anything?
No, just, I suppose, if people are looking for information on the event, just log into donegal.ie and we have a tab there for Donegal Jobs Fair. So all the information
and I can just hear now loads of mums and dads sending links and phone calls.
Yes, that's what we want.
If you're in London, get along to this event. We want the mad to get them home.
That's
okay,
it.
Brilliant stuff. Anne-Marie Conlon, thank you very much, as always. Great to see you again. Anne-Marie's from the Economic Development Unit, in fact, the head of SAME. Sarah Kinsley, HR Director with PGIM, thanks very much. Great to learn a little bit more about the great company as well that provides so much employment up here. And last but certainly not least, Anya McMenamin, Commercial Director of Mantis Cranes, a company that's just gone from strength to strength.
Yes.
Is there toilets in the cranes?
No.
Okay. It's hard to leave on that note, but it's always something that's quite interested in. Okay.
Yeah, so most people don't have to
be
claim
some showers.
Them.
Listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Right, just to remind you one more time, that's a jobs fair in the London Irish Centre in Camden, London. It's on Thursday, this coming Thursday, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m, specifically targeting Donegal people living in London and who want to come home. Just make the call, make the decision. All right, thank you very much indeed. Okay, we're now joined on the programme by Mary T. Conway. How are you getting on, Mary T?
Doing well, Greg. How's yourself?
Good, good, good. How's the last few days been? Any crack?
Oh, flip me. I am still on cloud 9 here. My heart is still pounding, thinking about Thursday night in Belfast.
All right, talk to us. What happened? Are you a big Bruce Springsteen fan to begin with?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm a fan going back to the early 80s. The song that we danced to was Hungry Heart, so that came out on the River album, which was 1980. But I suppose a lot of the Irish got to know Bruce Springsteen through his Slane concert in 85. Now, I was too young to go to it, but Born in the USA obviously was a huge album and one that got him a lot of traction here. So, so I'm a fan probably since the early 80s, and I've been to about, in terms of going to concerts, I've only been to about 6 or 7 concerts, so I'm not one of these people who's been to loads and loads of concerts yet.
Right, okay, so you got your tickets, you're a big fan, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
You're at the gig, and how did you end up dancing with the boss?
Yeah, well, it's a funny story, really, Greg, because I nearly wasn't at the concert I wasn't well a couple of weeks beforehand, and I was actually in hospital the week before the concert. So on my consultant's advice, he said, you know, you need to be active and walk and things. So he said, as long as you don't go, you know, berserk, you'll be fine. So went to the concert, got lucky enough to get accessible parking because I was worried about how I would be able to go to the, you know, walk to the venue. Where I sat, I brought in a cushion because I couldn't stand for much of a length of time. So brought him a cushion, and we got a seat at the pit. I sat on the cushion, and we got up when I saw him coming down the side of the stage. And basically, I honestly don't know how it happened, but he made eye contact with me, and where I was standing, I was able to walk straight to him when he, beckoned me over. So, big shock.
Was there a connection there, Mary T? You know,
you
looked in his eyes, he looked in yours. He was drawn to you.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like such a cliche, but when he walked over, I mean, there was a sign beside me that said, make me your Courtney Cox, 40 years a fan. That was not my sign. We had nothing to do with that, but that was exactly... You know, I'm 40 years plus a fan, and I'm sorry for the people who were standing beside me who didn't get to meet him and dance with him. But I know I was so privileged and so blessed to be in that position because so many people would have wanted to dance with him. But yeah, basically he walked down, he made eye contact with me for whatever length of time. He stopped, he waved. And I, at this stage, well, prior to this, when he was coming down, I was frantic. I was like, you know, so excited. But then when he actually made eye contact, it was like, okay, this is my moment. So in I stepped, and the security guard was kind enough to let me through because it was at the side of the barrier. So, and all through the dance and the song, he maintained eye contact with me. And I'm sure anybody who has met him or had a similar experience could say the same thing. It's just you. It's nobody else. He's not looking at anybody else. So that warmth and that energy is there. Right. And
he wouldn't have to make it such a personal experience, if you know what I mean. He could have just gone through the
motions. Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. And a lot of artists don't have that same connection with the audience, and I think that's what makes Bruce Springsteen so popular with his audiences. Are basically he connects with people. He has that connection. You know, he gives the guitar picks out. He gave the organ out. So he really does, and it feels really genuine when he's there with you. It feels really, really genuine. So I mean, I was just, you know, I was on high dough, absolutely delighted.
What song did he dance to? Was it Hungry Heart or the one after that?
Hungry Heart. Okay. Hungry Heart.
Brilliant.
He came down and he met another wee girl from Craigavon, a wee girl, Farah Lavery, and her family are big, big Springsteen fans. They were in Kilkenny last night as well. So he gave her the guitar pick first and had photographs of her, and then he came over to our side of the stage. And I mean, you have to understand, we were at the very, very edge of the stage. Mm. Where I was, I had no view of the stage or the screens, but I was happy enough with that because I was just content that I was at the concert and hearing the music. I didn't actually need to see him. So I was able to get up when I wanted to and walk round to the front and see him. But yeah, it was just electric. And I mean, I was there with my two daughters and they were absolutely buzzing. Everybody round us was buzzing.
Of course,
the amount of people who gave us photographs, videos, sent messages afterwards. You know, I think being a fan of Bruce Springsteen, it's like a wee community on its own. You know, there's so many people there and they all look out for each other. And, you know, the concerts that are coming up in Cork and Dublin, I mean, the fans have so much to look forward to. It's going to be fantastic.
I presume you have, but did you wash the hand much since?
Ah, no. What do you do? Like, my blue fleece, I'm just not sure what to do with that blue fleece.
I know, put that in a glass cabinet. There's bound to be some Bruce DNA on it.
Yeah, look, I don't need it because I was there.
Yeah.
I felt it in my heart, in my soul, in every part of my being. I know, you know, although it's like a pinch me moment, it's like, did this really happen? Yeah.
Brilliant.
Only that I see the photographs, it's like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm...
But isn't it so nice that it happened to someone whom it means so much to? If your consultant's listening, by the way, look at... She took it easy otherwise. Give the woman a break. Come here, Mary T. He looks fantastic and he's still an excellent performer. That sounds patronising. I hope it doesn't. I don't mean it to be. But, you know, like, he's been around a long time, but he still is top class, isn't he?
Yeah. Look, he's top class. He's at the height of his game, really. Yes, he's slowed down. But, I mean, he's 74 years of age, you know. You see some fans and hear some fans saying, oh, he's not the way he used to be. He's not going to be. He's 74. I mean, and if you think of the staying power, the E Street Band, 50 years they have been together. You know, his keyboard player has been with him since 1972, Gary Tallant. You know, you have all those other members of the bands, Needles and Stevie and Max and Susie and most recently, I suppose, Jake. You know, they have been with him for so long. So what does that say about a person? He is just, he's just brilliant.
Brilliant. What a wonderful experience for you, Mary T. Thank you so much for sharing it. I really appreciate it. And as I say, what a fantastic experience for you and everyone that went to the concerts. And you're not going to any more, but I would say you'd love to see him one more time before he flees
I might be going to Dublin. I don't know what the crack is. I've got accommodation booked and I'm hoping for a ticket. So, I'd love to go. I'd love to go again. But I'll never have that experience again, obviously.
No.
So that's fine.
But nothing beats being there. Okay, thank you so much, Mary T. Lovely story. Thank you.
Deadly, Greg.
All right,
thank you.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's Mary T. Conway there, who's a big Bruce Springsteen fan and got to dance with him. She almost wasn't there. And is it nice when things, everything happens for a reason and turns out for a reason? Right. A caller says, finding work in Donegal is not a problem. Finding a living wage in Donegal is the problem. Indeed. But a lot of the wages and a lot of those companies that will be there on Thursday, you know, they're good wages with good opportunities as well. A caller says it's fantastic that this job fair is taking place in London, and there is nothing that I love more for my son and his family to move back to Donegal. But as we've discussed it, it's always been housing that held them back. But still, I think the message is get along to it. Talk to some of the businesses. There are different ways you can work in terms of, you know, a bit of blended working, maybe travelling in and out of the office a couple of times a week rather than the 5 or 6 days. The companies want to work with potential employees. That's the message that's coming across to me anyway. A caller says, why are the HSE running over to London to a career events when there is a career embargo and nobody being replaced when people who retire? There's certain positions that aren't being filled within the HSE. There are other positions that are being filled, certainly in terms of home care, care in the community, a lot of availability in that area. I'm not sure if the HSE themselves are actually at that event, but healthcare certainly is. But the HSE's employment levels have gone up. They are the certain parts of that embargo that don't apply. Greg, in relation to the vacant grant to help turn an old house into a home, this grant only works if you've $100,000 in the bank to do the job and then claim it back, as bridging loans are no longer an option. This is not my wheelhouse. I don't know. But I was under the impression that there are some lending institutions in the community that will offer a bridging loan once the loan has been approved. Not the loan, the grant has been approved. As I say, I don't really know enough about that. Maybe it's something actually we can do a bit of a Q&A in that derelict properties, the options there, because I do know there's been a whole series of public meetings right around the county encouraging people to take part in it. And I think there's been a decent uptake, but maybe there are questions there that you want answered if you have a property and you think it might do. So what we'll do is maybe for this week, we'll set up a Q&A on that, hopefully get some people in the know on, and any questions that you might have, we will get them answered for you. What's going on in Donegal Town around the Diamond? It's a mess. Even the county team had to do their speeches out at Lidl, not one in the town. Well, the Diamond's being upgraded. And there's a huge amount of money being invested in Donegal Town in terms of traffic management and also rejigging the Diamond. And that work can't... it's fantastic that Donegal won an Ulster Championship, but that work can't be timed around that. I thought actually the setup where they had it was pretty good. Big open space there. No traffic. You know, a lot of people crossing the road around the Diamond. I know it's not traditional, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being the new spot. Caller wants to know, once county councillors are appointed, is this a full-time role or a part-time role in addition to their day jobs? And if it's a part-time role, how are the appointed members meant to represent the people and have issues raised? A lot of people running seem to have other full-time jobs. I'm not sure how many full-time councillors that really are. I think the majority are. I wouldn't say they're part-time. They are full-time councillors, but they also have full-time employment or businesses or farms or what have you. I think if we were waiting for people who had no other interests to fill the council, we might be struggling to fill the seats that are available there. But thank you very much for that. There's an important meeting coming up. It's the family forum. It's a family forum taking place on Wednesday, the 15th of May. It's in the Radisson Hotel, Letterkenny. And it is in relation to CDNT management. There's going to be guest speakers there, CNO officers and NEPs and guidance officers for school leavers. We're going to be talking about that in the next couple of hours, if that's something that might interest you or be of interest to your family. But we are going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices. We're also going to be reflecting on Donegal Ulster Champions.